Take your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, this morning as we walked into this room, Father, it was just jam-packed with people. And as the invitation was given, the altars were just flooded with people. Lord, tonight, again, the building is full. Your people have sung. Your people have read your word back to you and about to hear it preached. Father, please change hearts and change lives again. Use us and use our church in a way that has never been done before, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is this. It's called The Same. The Same. I was recently with some preachers as I was traveling, and they were talking among themselves a bit, and I was not necessarily involved in the conversation, and at one little brief moment, they began to talk about the turmoil in their church. And they, I don't know how, pointed their attention toward me, and after talking about the turmoil in their church, they said, "Well, Brother Lynch, you know what I mean, don't you?" And this was my answer, "No, I don't know what you mean, because we don't have turmoil in our church." The sermon that I'm about to preach to you this evening is a preventive maintenance sermon. I believe in preventing problems rather than waiting until they happen and then trying to solve a big problem that could have been prevented. I don't know of any dissension in our church. If you said to me, "Brother Owens, is there anybody in your church that's sowing discord?" I do not know of one single individual in this church that is sowing discord among the brethren. Not one. Preachers say, "The women in my church are a bunch of gossips." Honestly, I don't know of a lady that is attacking the church. I don't know of a lady in our church that is causing trouble in our church. We're not having that problem. But let me say something to you. We are a unified church, and it ought to be so. But if you have, by chance, met within our ranks a critic, you just found the oddball. If you have found someone that is disgruntled, they are the exception. They are not the norm. If by chance among our ranks you have found that unsatisfied person, they do not have the usual attitude of our church. If you by chance have found that person that has a negative attitude about this work, their negativity is abnormal for the rest of us. If you found that one that is disloyal, they're not in the majority. They're soloists. Right. If you have found that disenchanted person, they're disconnected from the rest of us. You found that one that is just unhappy and miserable in this church, that is irregular. That is not the regular attitude or spiritual temperature. If you have found that one that is somehow disappointed, they are in the minority, not the majority. If you found that one that is disapproving of what God is doing here, they are inconsistent to the rest of the people, because it is very obvious by the spirit of this church and the blessing of God upon this church that this is a church of unification. Now, I do not come to you tonight to try to fix something that's broken. I don't think there's anything broken. I come to you to hope that we can keep things well maintained. Let's keep the gears oiled up and lubed up so this thing keeps on flowing and running smoothly. The same is the title of this evening's sermon. In verse number 2 here of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that this passage of Scripture is being written unto the church. It's talking about the local New Testament church. And it mentions here those that are called to be saints. It's talking to the local New Testament church, those that are called to be saints. In other words, the born-again people in the church. By the time you get to verse number 10, it says this: "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Wow. Here it says that ye all speak the same thing. It doesn't say some of us speak the same thing or most of us speak the same thing. It says that ye all speak the same thing. What's God saying here? The New Testament church ought to have unity. Then it goes on and says, "And that there be no division among you." It doesn't say some division. It says no division. How much is that? Zero division. How much is that? Zilch. It does not even exist. Then it goes on and says, "But that ye be perfectly joined together." Perfectly joined together. Get that. Perfectly joined together. Young people in the youth department, we ought to be perfectly unified in the youth department. Perfectly. Hey, are you adding to the perfect unification of this New Testament church and the unity that God commands us here? It says we ought to be in the same mind. What is that? Unity. It says we ought to practice the same fair, just judgment. What's that called? Unity. Unity. Listen to what God said. That ye all speak the same thing. And that there be no division among you. But that ye be perfectly joined together. In the same mind. And the same judgment. What a power-packed verse. And when you don't obey that verse, it tells you why people don't want to join the church. You know, when a church is all full of division and backstabbing and backbiting and disunity, people don't want to be a part of that. People don't want to be a part of that. You can get that in the world out there with lost people. Well, why not just stay out in the world and do all the backstabbing and all the bad talk and everything? We, here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, are experiencing a miraculous modern-day revival. A miraculous modern-day revival. I mean, do you watch week in and week out and week in and week out people getting saved and lives being changed and the church house is full and we put all these new pews in here. I wondered how are we going to fill them all up? Now on Sunday night, they're all full. We're going to have to do something to accommodate our Sunday morning crowd because Sunday night has just jam-packed our building. In a day and age when people say, well, you can't build a church today. Well, what's the problem is you can't get people to be unified today and nobody wants to come join a beehive of destruction and disunity. But if we can get everybody to do what the Bible says, of being of the same mind and speaking the same thing and being perfectly joined together, hey, that is attractive to the outside world. They think that's what church ought to be. They really do. Now, if you're new in our church, don't you come here and tamper with or mess up our unity. Boy, if you got all your good ideas on how it ought to be, and if it don't match our ideas, you just need to keep them to yourself. We don't want to say, hey, look, when you got a winning lineup, you don't change the lineup. Oh, no, no, no. Hey, if you're new in our church, you're welcome here. We want you here. We're glad to have you here. Get a smile on your face and get on the team. get on the team. We don't need soloists to come around and mess up the unity that God gave us. Over about three and a half years ago, I took this church before about, this morning we were up over 900 people. Hey, before about 600 of you joined this church, we were doing just fine. We were all as happy as we could be. Now, everybody that joined since then, let's keep this thing going. And if you're new to it, don't mess up what we've got going. Hey, listen to this. You wouldn't believe how many people get our tapes and our CDs. Brother Young helps to post them on my website. See, people can go to the website right after the service this evening and start downloading the sermons. On one Sunday night, he said, in a matter of just a few hours, over 300 people had already gone to that website to download a sermon to listen to it. Well, those of you out in TV land, when you hear our sermons, you say, well, I'd like to be a part of that church. Well, you're welcome to come here and be a part of this church, but if you don't bring a bad attitude, you just stay where you're at. We don't need you to come here and mess up the good thing we've got going. You say, well, boy, you rejecting us? We're having a hard time finding seats for everybody already, but if you've got a bad attitude, you just stay there in your empty church with your bad attitude. We got something good going on around here. Oh, but let me say also, if you're here, you're here now, and let's say you've been here, whether it's for 100 years or 100 days, and you've been acting like you're a loyal supporter of this work, but you're a fake. It's almost telling you to keep your mouth shut. I want to give you two pieces of advice. Get right or continue to keep your mouth shut. Because we don't need you tampering with the spirit of our church. We've got something good going on. We've got a unity that is unique and special. And God is looking for a group of people that are of the same mind and they speak the same thing. And God is looking for a group of people that are what Christians are supposed to be. And even the lost and dying world know that Christians ought to get along. Thank God. We have some things in common. The same. Brother Brad, I'm going to use the microphone if I can. You know, why shouldn't you have unity in a New Testament church? Why shouldn't you? Say, well, why, Brother Owens? Well, you should have unity in the New Testament church. We all have the same past. Everybody here has the same past. Romans chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Here's what it's talking about. It's talking about one person is judging another person that's done wrong. And the Bible says here, what are you doing judging them about their wrong? You did the same things. You know something? We all have the very same past. You say, what is that? We all used to be lost. We all used to be on our way to hell. We all deserve to go to hell. Now, we all better be real careful to learn how to get around or get along with each other here in the church. You want to know what every last one of us really deserved? We deserve to go to hell. And for you or for me to get too arrogant about this thing, we may be traipsing on thin ice. We all came from the same place. We're dirt. And we all have the same past. Every last one of us were lost. And every last one of us needed to be born again. And every last one of us, had we died before we got saved, would have gone to hell. Nobody here bypassed being lost. All of us were lost. Everybody here had to get saved because you were a sinner. You know something? We all ought to get along in this church. Why? We have the very same past. We're guilty of the same sin of rejecting Christ up to the moment we got saved. There's a reason why you got to have unity in a church. We all have the same past. We ought to get along. You get some churches, though, they don't all think they have the same past. They don't think that. Some of them think, well, I've just always been saved. I'm sorry, Sugar Plum, that's too long. You were a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, scum-of-the-earth sinner, just like the rest of us. And it doesn't matter to me what sins you committed. They were enough to send you to hell. You had to get born again. We all have the same past. We ought to get along in the New Testament church. Hey, get this. We ought to get along in the New Testament church and have unity because we all have the same salvation. The Bible says in Jude 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." It calls it the common salvation. The common salvation. I'll tell you why there shouldn't be disunity in the local New Testament church. We all have the same past. I'll tell you why there shouldn't be fussing and discord in the New Testament church, because we all have the same salvation. You know something? Every last one of us got saved the very same way. Every last one of us needed to know that we were sinners. Every last one of us needed to know that sinners, there's a penalty for sin, and that is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. Every last one of us had to come to a Savior that died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. Every last one of us had to humble ourselves and realize we were on our way to hell, tell Him we were sorry for our sin, ask Him to come into our heart and save us. Every one of us had to get saved the same way. We have the very same salvation. Brother Bush, come up here for a second. When you got saved, how did you get saved?
By trusting Jesus as my Savior.
Ah, that's interesting. Brother Bacon, come up here for a second. When you got saved, how did you get saved?
Trusting Jesus as my Savior.
Why, isn't that incredible? Every one of us got saved the very same way. That's why we should get along. Thank you, fellas. We ought to get along in the New Testament church. Why? We have the same past. We ought to get along in the New Testament church. Why? We have the very same Savior. What Savior was that? Hey, it was the same salvation, and it is the same Savior that produced that salvation. What Savior is it? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." You know, we all have the very same Savior. You don't have one Savior, and I have another Savior. The choir doesn't have one Savior, and the people in the balcony another. Get this. The new Christian that got saved this morning has the very same Savior as Brother Miller in English, who got saved in 1812. Very same Savior. My Savior is your Savior, and your Savior is my Savior, and my Savior is John's Savior, and John's Savior is Abraham's Savior. He's the same Savior. We ought to get along because we've got the same Savior, the same virgin-born Savior, the same sinless life, the same Savior that was willing to shed His blood for me, shed His blood for you. The same resurrection was good for us all. Hey, look. He is our Savior. The Bible says He had the same purpose. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now look, we have the same past. We have the same salvation. We count on the same Savior. Why shouldn't we get along? Every one of us had to depend on that Savior. Every one of us had to have Him. Every one of us had to have Jesus Christ. You're no different than me, and I'm no different than you. You were on your way to hell. You got saved the way I got saved. You got saved by the same Jesus that saved me. We ought to get along. Why shouldn't we get along? Not only that, we have the same God or the same Lord. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." We have the same God. My God is your God, and your God is my God. We have the same God. My God created the universe. Hey, brother, I want to step up here. Hey, who created your universe?
God.
God. Hey, I've got a hunch it's the very same one. The very same God that created the globe that I live on called the earth is the very same God that created the globe that you live on called the earth. We have the same God. You know who created me? God created me. God created me. Hey, Brother Doss, come up here for a second. I've got a serious question to ask you. Brother Doss, who created you?
God did.
All right. Hey, give me five on that, man. All right. We got the same God. I mean, the God that created him created me. Now, he didn't do as good a job on his face as God did on mine, but God had practice when he got to me. Thank you, Brother Doss. Same God. Same God. He's the same God, and I've got the same God you've got. My God, he says, "I want you to love people."
My God says, I want you to love people, and so does your God. He says, love people. My God says, you ought to hate sin, and your God says, you ought to hate sin. My God demands righteous living, and your God demands righteous living. Hey, even though you are not living righteously, your God demands righteous living, and my God demands righteous living. We've got the same God. We've got the same Savior. We've got the same salvation. We've got the same past. Get this. We've got the same Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Same Spirit. My Holy Spirit comforts me. Brother Young, stand up here for a second. Who comforts you?
The Holy Spirit.
Wow! Picture that. We've got the same Holy Spirit that comforts us. I love that. Same Holy Spirit. He guides me. Nathaniel, come up here for a second. Nathaniel, the Holy Spirit guides me. Who guides you?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you got it. Look at that. We got something in common. Thank you, Nathaniel. Wow. Same Holy Spirit. He comforts me and Young. He guides me and Nathaniel. Hey, he warns me. I've got a Holy Spirit that warns me. Brother Lowe, come up here for a second. I got a serious question for you. Who warns you about the dangers of life?
The Holy Spirit.
Whoa! This is cool! All right! We're on the same team, evidently. Thank you, Brother Lowe. Wow! Same Holy Spirit. He warns him. He warns me. He guides me. He guides him. Hey, I get convicted by the Holy Spirit. I get convicted. Do you say, Brother Owens? Boy, all that preaching you do, you get everybody else under conviction. Don't blame it on me. I didn't do that. Do you know I have to listen to the same sermons you do? I got to listen to them twice. I have to prepare it in His presence and then come in here in your presence. And I don't know which is the hardest. He convicts me. Brother Nash, you ever, come up here for a second. You ever get under conviction?
Yes, sir.
I mean, a lot of conviction? I mean, are you like sin in your life that needs to be confessed and the Holy Spirit convicts you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the Holy Spirit convicts me. Who convicts you?
The Holy Spirit.
Oh, does He have His hands full? But thank you. Hey, are you getting it? You know what? In the New Testament church, when God says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. What's He saying? Look, you have the same past. You have the same salvation. You have the same Savior. You have the same God. You have the same Holy Spirit. You know what God tells us? Well, that's because we're all part of the same family. Matthew 12, verse 50, it says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This is a church service, but can I tell you something better yet? This is a family reunion. It's a family reunion. And not like your family reunions. This is a family reunion where they love one another. A family reunion. He's saying, oh, this is a family reunion. Yeah, we've all got the same dad, our Heavenly Father. This is a great big family reunion, and we ought to look forward to it. We're, you know what? We call, Brother Bajent, come up here. We don't just call him Mike Bajent. We call him what? Brother Bajent. Now, we don't have the same mama, but we do have the same daddy.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is my brother, Mike Bajan. Thank you very much. You see, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a part of the same family. Now, there are times when family members will misbehave, but that doesn't mean that they're not a part of the family. But you know what's best? It's best when all the family members are in unison, isn't it? It's far better when we're all behaving ourselves and we're kind and we're nice and we're gentle with each other. Now, when you're around the family, make sure you behave yourself. We're in the same family. Why? We have the same Father. What else? We have the same Holy Spirit and the same God and the same Savior and the same salvation because we have the same past. But not only that, We're going to the same place. We are going to the identical same place. The Bible says in John 14, verse 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Listen, I'm going to heaven someday because I've got a Savior that gave me a salvation because I had a crummy past, and God stepped in, and the Holy Spirit stepped in, and I am on my way to the very same heaven where God speaks here in John 14. And you want to know where you're going? We are not going to two different heavens. Man, if you don't like it here with me, you're not going to like it there with me. We're going to the same heaven. There is not one heaven for women and another for men. Seems like there's something wrong with that. We're going to the very same heaven, folks. The same heaven. I am going to a heaven that has golden streets. You are going to a heaven that has golden streets. I am going to a heaven that has gates of pearl. You are going to a heaven that has gates of pearl. I'm going to a heaven where there is no pain. You are going to a heaven where there is no pain. I'm going to a heaven where people don't die. You are going to a heaven where people will die no more. I am going to a heaven where there is no sin, and you are going to a heaven where there is no sin. I'm going to the very same heaven where Jesus is, the same heaven where Brother Ray Montgomery is right now. I'm going to the same heaven where Skippy Burris is right now. I'm going to the same heaven where Brother Ralph Osterman is. I'm going to that same heaven. I have a tie tack on here that Brother Osterman gave me. I was thinking about him today. I, one day, will be in the same heaven that Ralph Osterman's going to. You know, it might be a good idea for everybody in every local New Testament church across this globe to get along, because we've got an awful lot in common. An awful lot in common. We're in the same family. We've got the same final destination, and the same Holy Spirit, and the same God, and the same Savior, and the same salvation, and the same past. Wow. There is no wonder God expected us to be of the same mind and to be perfectly joined together. You know something? We've got the same Word of God. Acts 8:35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus." The same Scripture. Hey, my Bible was written by God. Brother Smith stayed up there. Who wrote your Bible?
God.
Whoa, I love it. Look at that. Woo! Hey, mine wasn't written by some man or some modern-day theologian that said, "I can improve on that." No, we've got the same book. We've got the same Bible. Hey, my Bible was preserved by God. Preserved by God. Hey, Brother Edwards, who preserved your Bible?
God.
Oh, this is getting good. I'm beginning to understand why we all ought to get along. We ought to get along. Why? We've got the same Bible. It's a perfect Bible. I've got a King James Bible. I have a Bible that God has preserved for me. We ought to get along. We ought to get along. And I'll tell you something. You check the churches that don't believe the things that I'm preaching tonight, and they're a mess. Backstabbing, backbiting, can't get along. You got 50 different groups in the church. Everybody's going a different direction. Everybody wants to control everything. Everybody's got to be king cut. Everybody's got to be at the decision-making throne. I'll tell you, you get a church where everybody's got the same, and you'll find unity, and then God can come, and God can bless, and that God that's the same God feels welcome there. And that same Holy Spirit that was there on the day of Pentecost when unity was there can come today. And that same salvation will be spread all over the county. And that same past will be done away with because we have a new future in the same heaven. Oh boy, boy, I've got the same Word of God. We have the same responsibilities. Say what? We have the same responsibility. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." It's called the Great Commission. That Great Commission was given to me because I'm a Christian, not because I'm a preacher. The same Great Commission was given to you. Every one of us have been commissioned by God to go out and get people saved. We ought to get along in the New Testament church. We have the same purpose. We have the same cause. We have the same responsibility. Every last one of us. The Bible says here, the Great Commission is in three parts. Every last one of us ought to be trying to influence people to get saved. Every last one of us ought to be concerned that people get baptized. Every last one of us ought to be going out and trying to teach others to go and do likewise. Now, you say, well, Brother Woods, I'm not doing that. Get on the same page here. We're all to do the same thing. It's the same responsibility. You say, I'm new in the church. You need to tell somebody about Jesus. We're to witness. You can't. You will not find any place in the Bible that dismisses you of the responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's all a responsibility. So we have the same responsibility. Oh, you know something? We have the same enemy. Identical. The one that hates me hates you. Job chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down. And Satan said, I've been everywhere. Satan saying, I have been everywhere. You know why? Because he's after everybody. We are fighting the same enemy. We have the same person out to get us. You all better realize something. Satan's out to get you, and I'd like to protect you from Satan. But, hey, have you given any consideration that Satan's out to get me? Well, I hope we will all pull together. If you think, well, I'm the only person Satan's giving a hard time. Oh, you're full of prunes. How many of you think Satan might be out to get you? Would you raise your paw for a second? Oh, my. Evidently, he's out to get us all. We have the same enemy. He hates us with the same hatred. He wants to destroy us. He's the very same accuser of the brethren that he's always been.
Right.
He's the very same liar that he's always been. You know something? Your enemy's a liar. My enemy's a liar. Your enemy is an accuser. My enemy is an accuser. Your enemy is a tempter. My enemy is a tempter. If you're new in this church, you've got an enemy. It is Satan. He wants to destroy you. But wait a minute. If you're old in this church, you've got an enemy. It is Satan, and he wants to destroy you. If you're on this staff, you have an enemy, and he wants to destroy you. If you're not on this staff, you have an enemy, and he wants to destroy you. If you're a bus rider, Satan hates you. If you're the bus driver, Satan hates you. If you're the bus captain, Satan hates you. We have an enemy, and it is not each other.
Right.
I am not the enemy, and you are not the enemy, and the brethren are not the enemy. Our church family is not the enemy. It is Satan. Keep your eyes on the enemy. Make sure you know who the enemy is. He's our enemy, the tempter, the liar, the accuser. God asked Job, or Job asked Satan for God. He said, where you been? Satan said, I've been everywhere. Why? He's busy. He's after us all. How is it that God could put such a stipulation on a New Testament church? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How in the world could God do that? Because God said everybody down there has the same past. Everybody's going to get saved the same way. Everybody's going to have the same Savior. Everybody's going to have the same God. Everybody's going to have the same Holy Spirit. Everybody's going to be a part of the same family. Everybody's going to end up in the same heaven. Everybody's going to have the same guidebook. The same Word of God. I'm giving everybody the same responsibility. You all have to fight the very same enemy. Now, why can't people get along? And again, I don't have any problems in my church. Maybe this sermon tonight is going to save some church out there in radio land. Who knows? Maybe somebody out there needs to get a hold of this, and some long-tailed or long-tongued Jezebel needs to shut her mouth and leave her preacher alone and get right with God. Well, let me tell you something. We ought to have unity in the church. You ought to have unity. We have the same cause. Hey, not only that, we're all members of the same church. I need to check on this. Jared, come up here for a second. Jared, what church are you a member of? Shenandoah Bible Baptist. Really? Me too. Oh, hi. Oh, that's all right. Josh, come up here for a second. Josh, come here. I now want to check on something. What church are you a member of?
Shenandoah Bible Baptist.
Wow, that's at least three of us here. Well, let me ask, choir, what church are you a member of? Tell me. Wow, that's neat. I guess that kind of makes us on the same team, doesn't it? Hey, everybody in the balcony, what church are you a member of? They're with us. Wow. You know something? I'm a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Yeah. Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. They shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Listen, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know something? We're a part of the church. We're to be one with Christ, and we're to be one with each other inside that church. Why? We're all part of we're part of the family. Husband and wife, they become one. We too, as the church, become one with Jesus Christ. We are in the same church. Let's see. Kim, come up here for a second. Kim is a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, but there might be more than one. In what city is the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that you're a member of?
Martinsburg, West.
All right, that's good. Now we're bringing this thing down to where we live, just in case, you know. Yeah. See, I'm a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church here in Martinsburg. Brother Ron, come here. Brother Ron, this is going to be a tough one. Brother Ron is a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg. What state?
West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're getting... Hey, now, I'm not sure there's more than one here in town. But we are all a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church of Martinsburg, West Virginia. We're members of the same church. We're one big family. We've got the same book. We've got the same God. We've got the same Savior. We have the same past. We had to get saved the same way. We have the same Holy Spirit. We've got the same responsibility. Now, let's make sure that we behave ourselves. Oh, no. I can't believe I found this verse. We're supposed to have the same mind. 1 Peter 4:1. And just so you know, we're not all coming down to your level to accomplish this. First Peter 4:1 says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You're not supposed to get my mind, or I'm not supposed to get yours. We're all supposed to get his. And if we all get his, we'll all have the same mind. The same mind. You say, "Brother Owens, you can't expect us all to think the same way." I don't. God does. That's what he says. We have the same mind. We're to submit every thought to Jesus Christ. Every thought. Every last one. Let me tell you how to have perfect unity in the church. You submit to that book. You be in total submission to the Holy Spirit. You say, "God, I want every thought that comes through my mind to be your thought." We will never have any dissension in this church. None. Zero. You can't. Christ is not going to work against his church. He's for his church. He's for his people. He's for that book. He's for the Holy Spirit. He's for God. He's for righteousness. All you have to do is think his way. When churches want to think their own way or the denomination's way, maybe that's where you mess up. Think the Bible way. Think the Bible way. We're to have the same mind. Here the Bible teaches we're to love the same things. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." We're to love the same book. We're to love the same Savior. We're to love the same music. We're to love the same honesty. We're to love the same truth. Love the same morality. Love the same good things. You say, "Brother Owen, sometimes I come here and I just feel out of place." Are you the same? I mean, your taste buds enjoying the food that everybody else is eating? the same. We're to love the same good things. We're to practice the same patience. I'll tell you when there'll be problems in our church. It's when one is less patient than what everybody else is. We're to love the same kindness in this church. We're to have the same justice in this church. Everybody here ought to be extremely concerned about our being just. Not finding someone guilty that's not been proven guilty. Not gossiping, not backbiting, not spreading rumors that are not true. That's not justice. And you'll have problems among the people when they don't love justice. We're all to love justice. Not just the leadership. All of us are to love it. All of us are to love righteousness and love God. We're also, you're not going to have division in a church. You'll have unity in church if we'd all stop and realize we have the same conflicts in life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, it says, "For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me." We have the same tempter. Every one of us have the same fleshly appetites. Every one of us. You have a flesh that you must conquer. I have a flesh I must conquer. You have desires. I have desires. You have temptation. I have temptation. We've got an enemy that's trying to destroy us. And everybody here needs to stop and realize, look, when your brother's having a tough day and things are not going very well for him and you say, look at that, he's doing wrong. He's got the same tempter you do. Your day's coming. Somebody's going to notice that you stumble along the way. We all have the same flesh. The same sinful nature that's in you is in me. The same sinful nature that's in me is in you. The same lust that you have, I must deal with. Everybody deals with lust. Everybody deals with temptation. Everybody has the potential of stumbling. All of us. If every one of us would stop and realize that all of us are fighting the same battle, we're all on this same globe, we have the same tempter, and we have some of the same weaknesses, we wouldn't be so hard on each other. We all have to battle the same kinds of sins. You battle it today, I'll battle it next week, but someday it's coming our way. Hey, and if somebody stumbles that are facing a sin today that you've not faced yet, be careful, you will face it. You know something? Why should we ever have conflict in the church? Ever. Ever. We have the same past, the same salvation, the same Savior, the same Lord, the same Holy Spirit. We're in the same family. We're going to the same heaven. We have the same Word of God. We have the same responsibility of winning others to Christ. We have the same enemy. We're in the same church. We're to have the same mind. We love the same things. And we have the same conflicts in life. The Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Discord and conflict come when church members are not on the same page. You say, what page? The pages of the Bible. Listen, we're all to be heading in the same direction. Growth. I'm not talking about everybody's a finished product. I know some churches that, you know, if you're not a finished product, they don't want you there. Oh, I don't think that way here. I don't think that way here. There is room for growth, and there has to be room for growth. Some of you that have some standards and convictions in your life, back off and stop smothering the new Christians. They need room to grow. There was a day when you were not perfect. Remember? Like this morning. Everybody has the same need for space for growth. But what I'm talking about is this. I'm talking about in the church, we all ought to be going the same direction. Everybody ought to have that same sincerity. We all ought to be desiring to grow and going in the same direction. What you're watching out for in the church, you get somebody in the church that says, I'm going another direction. That's when you destroy the unity of a church. That's when you destroy it. Hey, bus captain. Bus workers, everybody ought to be going the same direction as our bus ministry. We don't need you to run off and do your own thing. Oh, no. Same direction. Same good, positive direction. You say, well, Brother Owens, wonder if there are two good directions. Then you figure out where the leadership's going and go in the good direction they're going. Don't be a soloist. You'll ruin things. I'll promise you. I mean, if they're both good, then just follow the leadership. I mean, you say, well, Brother Nash, we were picking between two good songs for the choir, and I like that other one. You're causing disunity. Why not just follow the good song that he picked? Staff, stay on the same page, same direction. Martinsburg Christian Academy. You want me to tell you how you can have a good, peaceful school? Get the parents going the same direction as the school. Guarantee it. You won't be kicking kids out of school right and left. You won't have fighting and fussing and discord and problems. You won't walk into the school and it be as cold as ice. It won't be like that. Hey, everybody's on the same page. And I'm not talking about everybody is at the same level of Christian growth. I'm talking about everybody's heading in the same direction. Let me show you something. Brother Bush, you stand up there and face the wall. Brother Owens, you stand up behind him. Brother Nash, you stand up behind him. Brother Young, you stand up behind him. Brother Bajan, now look, we are all going the same direction. Let me explain something to you, though. Brother Bush may be a better Christian than these other fellas. Him being a better Christian than Brother Nash, which isn't obvious, but him being a better Christian than Brother Nash does not cause discord in a church. Brother Young being a better Christian than Brother Bajan does not cause discord in a church. Having different people at different levels of growth does not cause discord in the church. I'll tell you what does. It's when they decide to go their own direction. Fellas, just move your own direction now. Somebody come right back toward the crowd. And all of a sudden, you've got problems. And that is exactly what happens. Thank you. You may have a seat. I am not talking about everybody being a finished product. I'm not talking about everybody is grown to be as clean can be, and they know all about the Bible, and they're all separated. I'm talking about every person in the church says, I want to go in the right direction. I'm getting in line. I want to follow Christ. I've got the same God, the same Bible, the same salvation, the same Holy Spirit. I want unity. But every once in a while, you get somebody in church that says, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do it my way. And you cause yourself problems. Youth ministry, we ought to be on the same page. Sunday school classes and teachers heading the same direction. Deacon board, same direction. Pastor and people. Old crowd and new crowd. You know what could have destroyed our church? As our church began to grow, those that had been here for many, many years, the original group when I arrived here, had they struggled or the new crowd struggled against them, we could have destroyed our church. Thank God we all decided we'll have to adjust. All of us will have to adjust some, but we've got to head toward Jesus and the Word of God and keep this thing going. Hey, churches ought to get on the same page with God. With Jesus. What does Jesus want at the church? I think Jesus liked what happened this morning during the invitation. See all those people came forward and got saved? Most of which were adults. Got right in the tank, got baptized. Hey, we ought to get on the same page with the Holy Spirit. Church ought to be on the same page with God, don't we? Don't you think? What are churches doing their own thing? They ought to find out what that book right there said. They ought to find out what God wants. They ought to do what the Holy Spirit wants. We ought to do what God wants. I think this. I think we all need to be careful to have the same kind attitude to those that won't get in line. I want you to be careful. If there's somebody that won't get in line, I want you to love them. We're going to love them. They need to be treated properly. The same. The same. The same. The same. You say, I don't believe all that junk you just said. You're not going to enjoy heaven very much. I've got a feeling when we get to heaven, we're all going to sing the same things. You're not going to say, well, church I used to be in, God, it's how we did it. We're going to eat the same food there. You see, there's not going to be that independence where we just run off and do our own thing. See, there won't be any pride there. I do not have one little problem submitting to that book. You say, but if we all submit to that book, we're going to be the same. Do you know who we're going to be like? Jesus. And he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you trying to press me into a mold? Yes, I am. the mold of Jesus Christ, and that is what the New Testament church is all about. We are to be like the Savior. That's why we're to have the same mind. That's why we're to behave the same way. That's why we're to do the same things. We're not trying to mimic people. We're trying to mimic Jesus.
This same Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.